much because I don't know a little bit more. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu by the Brisbane Absalom that he's giving him Eretz Yisrael, that Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bama Hida Ki Yil Hashem. And he mentioned that Nisa was in his mind, the end of Megillah says that Avraham Avinu's question was, what proof will I have the right, or my descendants have the right to hold Eretz Yisrael? Bam, giving him a chance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu
says that Avraham Avinu's question was, what schus will I have the right and will my descendants have the right to hold their Eretz Yisrael? Stam giving me a matanah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Kol Yegle Mushaleshes, and Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara Yad Megillah, B'schus HaKarbonis. That if you don't, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not interested in building a Beis HaMikdosh, you're not interested in bringing Karbonis, so you have no right to the land. You only have a right to live in Eretz Yisrael if you believe in God and you plan ultimately to build a Beis HaMikdosh there. Eretz Yisrael has different inyanim to it, different aspects. The one aspect simply is that Eretz Yisrael is a Cheftah Shal Mitzvah. That's how Rav Soloveitchik used to say in a very dry sense. A Cheftah Shal Mitzvah, like a lulav, like an estrig. A lulav and estrig doesn't have any kedusha all year long, but it's an object that gives you the ability to fulfill the mitzvah. So Eretz Yisrael is a place, rather than being an object, it's an area that gives it the opportunity of fulfilling the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisvahs and Shmita V'Yayvah. In that sense, it wouldn't have been given to us, Dafke L'mashal. Every building that you live in gives you the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah of Makkah. If you build a house, that gives you the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah of Mezuzah. So all the buildings in the world belong to the Jews? Because the Rabbi Shalom gave us all the buildings with which he can fulfill a mitzvah of Makkah and the mitzvah of Mezuzah? No. So just because Eretz Yisrael is a place where you can fulfill a mitzvah of Trumas and Maisus and Shemitah the other doesn't mean it belongs to us. If you have a lulav and an esrig, you have to buy a lulav and esrig. All the esrigim in the world belong to the Jews, and all the lulav and all the hadassim and all the arrows belong to the Jews, because anything that has to do with a mitzvah, not necessarily so. If you pay for it, if you buy it, it's yours, and if you give it away, or it's taken away, so it's not yours, that's all. It's always given to Avraham Avinu to the Jewish people, because it's the Makom HaMikdosh. The Mishnah says in Maseches Kelim, there are Eser Kedusha saying, there are 10 different levels of Kedusha, ascending in order. So the first level of Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to the rest of the world. And the Mishnah gives you what's the relevant significance of Kedusha Sa'aretz. Instead of saying that you mafresh Trumas and Maisus and you fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah of Yovel, the Mishnah says that when you bring the two karbanas, the one karban on Pesach of Minchas HaOmer, that's brought on the first day Chol Moed Pesach, second day Pesach, and the one karban on Shavuos of Mishtei HaLechem, also from grain. So these two karbanas, the Omer is from barley, from Sa'orim, and the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos is from wheat. These two karbanas, the barley and the wheat, have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. If it grows in Chutz La'aretz, it's not acceptable for the mitzvah. So from all the dinim in Kol HaTorah, the Mishnah picks out such awkward dinim. Say, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, that you have Trumas and Maaseh, Shemitah V'Yayvah, Lekad Shikhot Peyah, the real stuff. What does it pick on these obscure dinim that you can only bring barley and wheat for the purpose of the Yomer, for the purpose of the Shtei Alechem, if it grew in Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Menachem Zembe, in his commentary on that Mishnah that appears in the Kuntres Oitzer HaSifrei, has a commentary on the listing of the Eser Kedusha. So he explains what the Kavon is, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say independently, without knowing that Rav Menachem Zembe has the same beer. Rav Menachem Zembe was a great goyim. He was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto, in the war. He was killed back around this time of the year. So the pshat that they give is the following. Very interesting that the Mishnah is not listing off the different kedushas that appear in the world in different mekaymas, kedushas malchus. The Mishnah is listing off 10 levels of kedushas hamikdosh that exist. So the first, it says the ultimate level of kedusha is in the kodesh hakadoshim bein shnei abadim. When you have the aron in between the abadim, it has more of a makom kodesh than the rest of the kodesh hakadoshim. And then the Kodesh HaKadoshim going down in order. Then the Kodesh HaKadoshim has more Kedusha than the Heichal. And the Heichal has more Kedusha than Bein Ha'ulam Ala Mizbeach. In between the Mizbeach and the Heichal has a lower level of Kedusha. Then the rest of the Azara has a lower level of Kedusha. Then as you go down, descending, till it gives you Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah is implying that Eretz Yisrael has an extension of Kedusha HaMikdosh. The highest level of Kedusha HaMikdosh is Bein Shnei HaBadim, where if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been there, like in the days of the Midbar, the Shechina would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mishnah has, there's a din in Halacha also, that Bein Abadim has more, a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Mishnah is giving you the various levels of Kedusha HaMikdosh that exist in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael has a level of Kedushas HaMikdash, has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. In addition to having a Kedushas HaAretz, and in addition to being a Chepetz Shal Mitzvah, with which you can a place where you can fulfill certain mitzvahs, and the rest of the world you can't, Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So it's that aspect of Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avraham Avinu. That's how the Gemara interprets the Pasuk. And what schus do I get Eretz Yisrael? Just because it's the holy land where you fulfill the mitzvahs, HaTluyas Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. Kol Yegle Mishalesh is B'schus HaKorbanos. That Eretz Yisrael has an aspect of Kedushas HaMikdash to it, and the indication that it has an aspect of Kedushas HaMikdash is given by the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't give you Eretz Yisrael Kedosh HaMikol HaRatzai Shemichuyavim Bo B'chumas HaMaisis HaPalekev Shikropeo U'B'Shmita B'Yoyvel. No, that's the Kedushas HaAretz, and it's Chayiv HaMitzvahs HaTluyas Baruch Hu, and all the agricultural mitzvahs. The Mishnah doesn't mention that. The Mishnah mentions only two obscure dinim, that for the purpose of the Minchas HaOmer, the barley has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. For the purpose of the Shtei Alechem, the wheat has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, for the purpose of Korbanos. For the purpose of Korbanos, Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha that Chutz Lord doesn't have. Another aspect the Mishnah could have mentioned, but it's no longer relevant to Zman Hazeh, the Mechilta says, in the beginning of the very first Mechilta, Chumashmo says that Mishavri Yisrael has a Yarden. After Bnei Yisrael crossed over the Yarden, and they were permitted to build the Bama and to bring Korbanos wherever they want, there was only a Het of Bama in Eretz Yisrael. There was no Het of Bama Chutz Lotz. You were only permitted to bring Korbanos in Eretz Yisrael. Then after Yerushalayim was chosen, then there's no longer any Het of Bama. That's the Mishnah in Megillah, in the first parak in Megillah, Daf Yud, Mishinivchar Yerushalayim, Ein Achrei Hetta. There's no longer a Hetta Bama. So the Mishnah could have mentioned, the Mishnah in Kalim, that's trying to bring out a point that Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas HaMikdash in a certain extent, to a certain degree, could have mentioned that then also, that you can only have a Hetta Bama in Eretz Yisrael and not a Chutz Lord. But that would have been an ancient din that's no longer relevant to Zman Hazeh. So the Mishnah gave you a din that's still Halacha L'maisa, that the Omer and the Shtei Lechem have to grow Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara in Megillah, the last daf, understands that the Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avraham Avinu was given because b'schus ha-karbonis, because that's the place to bring the karbonis. That's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So you only b'moida kirashenu. What's chus b'schus ha-karbonis? If you want to live in Eretz Yisrael as a secular Jew, and you don't plan to build the Beis HaMikdash to bring karbonis to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have no right to the whole Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara understands the parasha of the Bris Pein Apsar. B'moida beis chus is b'schus ha-karbonis. Getting Eretz Yisrael itself constitutes an Aschalta de Gula. You have to know what Gula is. What is the definition of Gula? So the Rabban HaChumash explained. He mentioned on different occasions. Rabban HaChumash writes that Sefer Shmos is the Sefer HaGolus VaHagula HeMeno. It tells about the Golus Mitzrayim, and it ends off with the Gula. How does it? So the Ramban asks on himself, how does it end off with the Gula? At the end of Sefer Shmos, they still didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. Even at the end of the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and they still didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. They only asked to enter Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yishuv ben Nun. So Ramban says, that's not the Geula. The Geula is when you build the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, that is the Geula. So he says, that's why he describes the book of Shmos, a Sefer HaGolus VaHagula HaMenor, because it has all about the Golus. And it ends up with the building of the Mishkan. That's the Geula. That was a Hayra Shah, that you can have a Mishkan, a Beis HaMikdash, floating around the Chutz Lord. The Din L'Doris is that you can't build a Beis HaMikdash in Chutz Lord. Din L'Doris is that Gimel Mitzvahs in Tavi Yisrael, Bechnisosim Lorets, when the Jewish people come into Eretz Yisrael, not from the traveling in Chutz Lord, you're going to build. They build a Mikdash Miyak, they build Bati Knesias, Bati Midrashas, that's a partial mitzvah. The Rambam and the Yireim and others, the Chachmei Sodom holds like that, many Pasim hold Halacha, that building a shul and building a yeshiva in Chutz Lord is a partial Kima Mitzvah on a level of their Isis. It's not the full Kima of the Yosel Mikdash, but it's a partial Kima Mitzvah because all these Bati Knesis, Bati Midrash, Asher Bovel are a Mikdash Miyad. But the full Kima Mitzvah of the Yosel Mikdash is to build a Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, not to build a Shul in Chutz Lord, but to build a Yeshiva in Chutz Lord. So the Gemara says that the building of the Mishkan, you had a Beis HaMikdash floating around in Chutz Lord, that was only a Hayra Shah. But the Din L'Doris, that's the Yosel Mikdash, they're traveling in the Midbar, the Rabban Hashem tells them, make the Mikdash. But the real Mitzvah L'Doris only is in Eretz Yisrael, and later it was determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's only in Yerushalayim. You can only fulfill the real mitzvah of the Beis HaBchira, the Beis HaLamim, the everlasting Beis HaMikdash, if you build it in the Beis in the Mokam HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So that's why the Gemara says the Gimel mitzvahs, the three mitzvahs, have to be fulfilled in order. First you have to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah number one is Lahamid Lahem Melech, to establish a king. And the Poskim point out, it's not Rabbi Cook said this, the Poskim point out Lahalacha, the Achronim, before anybody lived in Eretz Yisrael, they point out the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that is Lav Davke Melech, it's either a Melech or a Shofet or whoever is in charge of the nation. It means to establish a government in Eretz Yisrael. To establish a government in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam also holds from that. People always quote, the Ramban says that mitzvah, the Ramban says that it's a mitzvah, v'irishtem osav yishavtem bo. Ramban has in the end of the Sefer Mitzvahs Loha Rambam, the Rambam tells you which are the Taryag mitzvahs. He says there are Reish Mem Ches mitzvahs Asei, 248 positive mitzvahs that you have to do, and Shin Samachay 365 Lois Asei, Yisurim that you're not permitted to violate. So the Rambam lists off what in his opinion are the Ramach mitzvahs and what in his opinion are the Shasa mitzvahs Lois Asei. And the Ramban has a running commentary on the side of the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs where he disagrees with various details of the, in principle he agrees, come out with everything, but a couple of details here and there he disagrees. And then at the end of the section of all of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Mitzvahs essay, it gives you a list of all of the Mitzvahs essay Shehishmit HaRav that the Rambam forgot to mention. At the end of the section of the Lois essay, he lists off what in his opinion are the Lavim that the Rambam forgot to list. So the Mitzvahs essay Dalit and the Hashmotis, the fourth mitzvah, he has around 12 mitzvahs, I think. Has 12 mitzvahs essay that the Ramban, during the course of the Ramach mitzvahs essay, he knocked off 12. He said 12 things that the Rambam counts as mitzvahs, he thinks should not be counted. Either they're wrong or they're subsumed under some other heading. He knocked off 12 mitzvahs. So he has to come up with another 12 in order that it should be Ramach mitzvahs essay. So he gives you the list of the 12 mitzvahs essay in his opinion, which is substitute for the 12 which Shesika, which he knocked off, which he removed from the listing of the Ram. So mitzvah number four in the minyan of the Ramban that he added on at the end is a mitzvah v'irishtem osav yishavtem bo, a mitzvah to go conquer Eretz Yisrael. So the Mefarshim discuss why the Rambam left out that mitzvah. The Rambam left out only one aspect of the mitzvah itself that you should have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, that he counts. That's the mitzvah Lahamid Lahem Melech. That's the mitzvah when the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, they have to establish a Jewish government. They shouldn't be satisfied with the fact that they're living in Eretz Yisrael under the British, or under the Turks, or under the Catholics, or under the Muslims, or something. The Rambam also quotes that mitzvah. Minui Melech is one of the Reish Memches mitzvahs that the Rambam has. Ramban is even more extreme. He says there's a mitzvah to go organize a Haganah and go take the land away from the British and bump them off and get the land. And the Rambam doesn't count that as a mitzvah. He says that maybe the Rambam holds that was only a Hirosha in the days of Days of Yeshua ben Nun, and maybe the Rambam thinks no, it is a mitzvah of Doris, and he holds it as counted under a different mitzvah, whatever. That's an issue about organizing a Jewish army before you get there, it's Israel, to organize an army to grab the land. But once you're living in Eretz Yisrael, then the Rambam also quotes it. That's the Gemara. The Rambam quotes that then. Gimel mitzvah in Stav Yisrael, Bichnisasim La'aretz. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, they have three mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is to establish a Jewish government, Lahamid Lahem Melech. Second mitzvah is Lahakriz Darish Al Amalek, and that was not yet taken care of. We cannot assume that Amalek has disappeared because the Gemara tells us, Rashi and Chumash quotes it, Kiyar al Kais Ko, Lachom al Hashem Amalek Midardo. Why does it say Kais? Why doesn't it say Kisei? Why does it say Ko? Why doesn't it say Yud Kei Vav Kei? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Psochim and Daf Nun. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Kisei Shalom, Hashi Koriz Darish Al Amalek. Until the war with Amalek will be taken care of, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei will not be Bimiluo. And that's Boyle Mazed, the Gemara says, only Limois HaMashiach, Boyle Hashem Melech, Boyle Mahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmecha, then you'll be Yud Kei Vavke, the people will say the Shem Yud Kei Vavke. Today we don't use that Shem, because it's Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein HaKisei Shalom. So obviously Amalek has not yet been wiped out. That's what the Gemara says. In fact, the Mabit writes in his Sefer, Beis HaLekim, it's a classic Sefer on Hashkofer that the Yosameach quotes, many others quote from the in the Beis HaLekim, so he writes that will it be any new mitzvahs that will have to fulfill in Moisa Mashiach? Is anything going to change? The Rambam says that one of the Yud Gimel Yikorei Yom is that nothing is going to change. All the din HaTorah stay the same. So is everything, absolutely everything is going to be the same? So he says, no, one din we know is going to change. It says in the Chumash that instead of having 6 Ori Miklo, they're going to be 9 Ori Miklo. That the Rambam quotes, the Moisa Mashiach, the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Melachim, one din is going to change as it says in the Chumash. And it never happened. So when is it going to be? So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara in Makkos, and Elohein HaGolan, that is going to be Lemois HaMashiach. So that's one change. That's how the Mabit starts off. Then he says it's going to be another change, which is not really a change. We're going to have to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek. It's not really a change. We had the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek was always with us. We just never fulfilled it fully. But obviously he's saying that we haven't yet fulfilled and it's going to have to be fulfilled in Moshe Mashiach. Now who is HaMolek? Where is the HaMolek? So they say B'Shem HaPchaim that HaMolek is Lav Davke, those who are descendants genealogically from that nation that started up with the Jewish people when they left Eretz Mitzrayim as they were traveling in the Midbar. Chaim said any nation that's Lo Yori Elokim, that doesn't believe in God and has its position, as its hashkafa, to wipe out the Jewish people, so that's called Amalek. And the Gemara tells us that the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael are called the Klal Yisrael. Those who don't live in Eretz Yisrael are also part of Klal Yisrael, but the main Klal Yisrael are those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have a group of people who don't, Lo Yor Elokim people who don't have any religion, who have as their policy to wipe out the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Amalek. So the Gemara tells us that this is the Seder, this is going to be the Talich of the three Kiyumi HaMitzvahs. First, they're going to be established a government in Eretz Yisrael, a Jewish government, that's the first step, that's the Haskalah. And then there's going to be Mechiyas HaMolek, and then there's going to be Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says it has to be in that order. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, it has to be in that order. I remember in 1967, after Mohammed Sheshet HaYamim, so the Tzahal took over the area of the Mokam HaMikdash. So some of the Rabbanim were tumbling then, maybe now that we have the Makam HaMikdash, we have an obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash and to bring Korbanos. So we don't have the ability to do it. There's nothing to discuss anyway. The Arabs are not willing to give us the opportunity to build. So I remember at that time Rav Soloveitchik said that there's no mitzvah yet to build the Beis HaMikdash because the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the second parak derives from Sukkim. And the Rambam quotes it La'aloch and Hilchas Melachim that you only build the Beis HaMikdash after Mechiyas HaMolek. That means after it's completely Shalom in Eretz Yisrael. But they were still tumbling after 1967. They're still tumbling Ara Yom Hazeh. There is no peace, unfortunately. There is no peace. The Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be a Mokam Shalom. That's why in the beginning, David HaMelech had no Havamina to build the Beis HaMikdash until after he conquered everything. He wiped out all of his enemies. And then he said, oh, now he has Shalom. So he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then Avi said, no, that you were too much of a man of war. Your son is going to be an Ish Shalom. His name is going to be Shlomo. He's going to be an Ish Shalom. Mitchilos about Soif. He was never involved in any wars. Not that there's anything... it's very unfortunate when you have to wage a war. But it's a mitzvah. Whenever you have to. So you have to wage the war. That's also one of the Taryag mitzvahs. To wage war when necessary. There's no mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to go say Krishna, to go shake a loop, to go wage a war. It's not a mitzvah to go declare wars, but whenever you're in a situation where war is necessary, so it's a mitzvah to wage the war, not just to sit back and say Tillim. Half of the people have to say Tillim, and the other half of the people have to go do the fighting. Not that everybody should sit back and say Tillim, everybody should learn. B'schus ha-learning, b'schus ha-tillim, the others will succeed in the war. But if no one's going to fight, so they're going to be mevatel a mitzvah. It says, kisei tzela machom alayvech, and the Rambam counts that as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. That when necessary, you have to wage war. So we're not so happy about war. No one in the world is happy about war. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is not too thrilled about war. He doesn't like it either. But whenever it's necessary, so then it's a mitzvah to wage war. So the Gemara says that whenever there's, even though David HaMelech did a mitzvah, all the wars that he did were mitzvah, but still, since he was involved in war, he wasn't supposed to build a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built by a person who's mitchilos about Tzoyfei and Ishol. So that's why the Navi told, God HaNavi told David HaMelech that his son Shlomo is going to be an Ishol. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Even after you have the Mokam HaMikdash, even if there were no mosque there, even if there were no world pressure, even if there were no Arabs threatening anything, if you'll build the Beis HaMikdash, but if they're still tumbling about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and they're still guerrilla, and they're still fighting, and they're still PLO tumbling about whether we have the right to remain in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no Shalom yet, so there's no Chiyuv to build the Beis HaMikdash. If you build it, it'll have the Kedusha. If you build it, Yom HaMikdash, it'll have the Kedusha. But there's no, you don't have to go out of your way to build the Beis HaMikdash. You're not Mechuyiv. The Gemara says you have to do everything in the proper order. First, to establish a government, and that's what the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Lav Davka Melech. He's either a Melech or a Shofet or whoever, Misha Ha'om B'yodai. Whoever is in charge means a central government. It's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael when the Jews lived there. Then a mitzvah to be Moicha HaMolech. And if they wipe out HaMolech, we assume that then it will be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. So then there's the final mitzvah, is the Gula Shlema is to build a Beis HaMikdash. So Ilu Zachinu, the Gemara talks about two possibilities of the Gula HaSida occurring. The Gemara talks about Be'ito, and the Gemara talks about Achishenu. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Navi, Be'ito Achishenu. So the Gemara said they mean two different things. What do you mean? The Gula will come in the right time and I will hasten the Gula. Achishen, I will bring it Chish Meira, quickly. Is it going to come in the right time, whenever that time is? Or is it going to come quickly? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, the Gemara has a few dafim where they discuss Bias HaMashiach. So the Gemara says, if Zachu, if the Jewish people are worthy that they keep mitzvahs and they do Meisim Tovim and so on, then it's going to be Achishen. Kodesh Baruch Hu will hasten the Gula. Gula, the Gemara tells the way they met Elio, one of the Chachamim met Elio Anavi, and they asked him, when is he coming? Masai Kosima. So he says, Hayoyim. So he says, Hayoyim. So he says, Hayoyim and Mekolos Hashmo. If the Jewish people will keep all the mitzvahs of Torah, I'll come today to announce that Mashiach is going to be here tomorrow. The Gemara understands the Pasuk in the end of Sefer Malachi. Literally, the Gemara in Erevin says, Eliyahu Navi will come the day before Mashiach will appear and announce to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim that tomorrow Mashiach will appear. That's how the Gemara understands it. So they asked Eliyahu Navi, Masai Kasi Imar, when is he coming? So the Lubavitcher version is that the Baal Shem Tov had an Aliyas Neshama, and it was on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, one year, when he lived in Poland. And he asked, he also met Eliyahu Navi, he asked him also the same question, Masai Yossi Imar. And Eliyahu Navi gave him a different answer. Eliyahu Navi gave him the answer, when you'll spread Hasidus all over the world, when Hasidus will be spread all over the world, then I will come. So that's why by the Hasidim they hold that it's a big inyan to if I spread Hasidus, that's going to hasten Bias HaMashiach. But the Gemara tells a different answer. The Gemara doesn't have this version of the Baal Shem Tov. The Gemara says, one of the Tanoim met Eliyahu Navi in the city Rome, Apischa Shoraimi, and he was a beggar, hiding, sitting together with all the other beggars. And somehow he recognized that was Eliyahu Navi, and he asked him, when are you coming? So he says, Hayom. So he says, Hayom? So let's go. So he says, Hayom and Mekolos Hashmoh. The Jewish people will fulfill the mitzvahs, I'll come today. And announce that Mashiach is coming tomorrow. That's when the Gemara says, that's Achishenu. If they'll fulfill the mitzvahs properly, if Zachu, it'll be Achishenu. And if Loi Zachu, and if the Jewish people are not worthy, then we'll have to wait to be Ito. Whenever this man is Kavua. In the Psukim in Daniel, it says in a very unclear fashion when this man is. It says so unclearly that all of the tzaddikim in every generation tried to make a cheshbon. The Rambam made a cheshbon and it was wrong. When is Mashiach coming? When is the Beit? And the Ramban made a cheshbon and everybody, and the Malbim made a cheshbon. All the cheshbonis were not always gehalten. So far, all the cheshbonis. The Vilna Gaon has, they quote, the Vilna Gaon has a cheshbon is going to be another year and a half. We'll see. Maybe he'll be wrong. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe the Beit will be tomorrow. But that's what Rabbi Kasha Zechel Racha printed, a gigantic book, HaTkufa Gdola, in which he printed supposedly a manuscript written by a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, where he quotes that he heard from the Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, the correct interpretation of the Psukim and Sefer Daniel as to when Mashiach will appear, and he has a whole calculation, and according to his Cheshbon, something was going to happen in 1948. He makes the Cheshbon. Doesn't say HaKamas HaMedina, but he says that's going to be the beginning, and then Mashiach is going to be in 1989, I think that's what he writes. That was, something like that. 1990, some kind of chesed like that. Okay, so we'll see. So the Gemara says that there are two zmanim. There's a zman of the Ito, and there's a zman of Achishenu. And the Gemara explains there's a contradiction between various psukim as to what the nature of Bias HaMashiach will be like. In several psukim, it describes Mashiach is going to come from heaven, from outer space. He's going to come fly, poof, and everything is going to be in a very supernatural fashion. Now, the psukim described is going to be Ani, a humble man, a pasuk in Zechariah Perizon. Ani v'roichav al chamor is going to ride on a donkey, a plain person. So the Gemara says, how did two descriptions shtim? It's a contradiction. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be b'dar hateva. So the Gemara answers, it depends. If it's going to be if zochu, and it's going to be achishenu, hasten, then it's going to be everything supernatural. If it's going to be Be'ito, then it's going to be a Fashlepte Zach Be'ito, then it's going to be Bederach HaTeva. Nothing is going to be razzle-dazzle like that. And there's a famous Arachayim HaKodesh and Chumash, which the Hasidim all say over. It's there, in Parshas Balak. The Chachamim have a tradition that in Parshas Balak, Bilam HaNovi was saying prophecy regarding Imois HaMashiach. And that's what the Rambam writes in several different places, that whoever doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach, not only is he a kofer in Divrei Shaar HaNevi'im, he's a kofer in the words Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem, because we have a tradition, Ishman Peish, that the Psukim and Parshas Balak are referring to Bias HaMashiach. That Yisoid and Amun appears in the Chumash. We say in Perek Chelek that we believe all the Yisoid and Amun appear in Chumash, not Stam their Baal Peh. Everything appears in Chumash. one who believes in the Olam Abba and Tchias HaMeisim, but he doesn't believe Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, he doesn't believe that Olam Abba says in Chumash, is also called an Apikurus. We believe that all the Yisaidis Amunah appear in Chumash. So Parshas Balak also has the Yisaid of Bias HaMashiach appears there. So the Chachamim interpret the Pasuk, we have a tradition that the Pasuk Dorach Kaichav Miyank Vekom Shevet Miyisrael is referring to Bias HaMashiach. So the Rachaim HaKodesh has on Chumash a famous comment. It was made famous by the Hasidim after the Zionists were interested in organizing a government in Eretz Yisrael, and they succeeded in organizing the government. So the Rachaim has the following passage, he has the following comment, that there are two Eifanim HaBias HaMashiach, he alludes to the Gemara, if it'll be Achishenu, if it'll be Zochu, and it'll come in a hasty fashion, it'll all be Min HaShamayim, Mashiach is going to fly down from heaven, then it's going to be Koicho, like a shooting star from heaven. And if it's going to be Chalila Loizachu, then it's not going to be Achishena, won't come quickly, then it's going to be Beito, then it's going to be Bekom Shevet Meisrael, it won't be a shooting star from heaven, it's going to be a Shevet. Shevet is a Makel, Shevet is a government where they have to beat people up and break people's bones and break people's backs, and it's going to be Pashut the people running the government. That's what the Rechaim HaKadosh HaChumash writes. It's going to be low level people running the government. It's not going to be the Vad Matz Gedolei HaTorah is going to be right away appointed as the Rosh HaMemshala. So it's going to take, if it would have been Zochu, then it would have been Echreis right away Rav Leizer Shach, right away Echreis somebody else, I don't know, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. But if it's Loi Zochu, so it's going to be Poshet, the people running the government, it's not going to be a Koicho, it's not going to be a shooting star, it's going to be Bederach HaTorah, it's going to be Shevet, and he claims that the word Shevet means Poshet, the people who clobber others with their sticks. So we obviously were loy zachu. We weren't zoyche. So we didn't have the achishena, but we have the aschalta de gula. Aschalta sa gula means you have step number one from the three steps. The Gemara tells us what the three steps are. I'm not making it up. The Gemara says the first step is lahamad lahem melech, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Nobody can deny that. That's what it is now. And even if we feel that the government is not observant enough, it's not religious enough, and the religious people are unhappy, and they're very unhappy, but we should all keep in mind that the non-observant people are much more unhappy with the government in Eretz Yisrael. They hold that it's too religious, they hold that it's too observant, that they support the yeshivas too much, and they support the Shabbos too much, and kashrus from the army. The non-observant people are not going on aliyah, derech klal. More religious people are going on aliyah, and the yoredim, there are many more non-observant people among the yoredim than there are observant people. So obviously the non-religious people are more unhappy with the government. So relatively speaking, we are satisfied with the government. The religious people are more happy with the government than the non-observant people are. I were not happy, so the people in America are not so happy with the government here either. The people in England are not so happy with the government there either. So noch nicht Moshiach zeit. When Moshiach will come, then you'll have a government that everybody will be happy with. You never have a government that everybody's happy. And as much unhappiness as we have with the Israeli government, and it hurts us very much, all the things that they do, there's much more unhappiness on the part of the non-observant people. But you can't say that it's not aschalta de gula. If the Gemara tells us this is the tahalich, this is the process. First step is lahamed lahamelach, to establish a Jewish government. That's a major breakthrough. And then, b'ritzayis Hashem, the Jews will have to fulfill the mitzvah of l'hachriz ara shel amolek. Obviously there's going to be some amolek, because the Gemara keeps on talking about ein Hashem shalom ein akisa shalom. We have enough people there who want to wipe out the Jews. Some of them are religious in some sense or another, and others don't have any religion. So those who don't have any religion at all, those I guess will turn out to be the Amalekim. As the Pasuk says, Lo Yori Elakim, those who don't believe in any God, and they have as their policy to wipe out the Jewish people, they will be labeled as Amalek, and that will be the mitzvah when the time will come. That will be the mitzvah to wipe them out. Unfortunately, there is such a mitzvah that you have to wage war. And then ultimately, we will have to fulfill a mitzvah, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But again, Eretz Yisrael was given to us not as the makom to fulfill the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisis and Shmita V'Yovel. If that were the logic, we said then all the houses in the world should belong to us, because you can fulfill the Makkah with every house, you can fulfill Mezuzah with every house. All of the lovim in the world should belong to the Jews, and all the Esrogim in the world should belong to the Jews. Not true. There is no halacha that any and every object with which you can fulfill a mitzvah belongs to the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael is a place to fulfill mitzvah. It's very nice. So if you buy a section in Eretz Yisrael, so you'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah. If you don't buy the area in Eretz Yisrael, so you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Absorim, and yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bamo Eida, Beis Eschus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not Beschus HaMitzvah, he says, Beschus HaKarbonis, Kol Yegle Mishuleshes. You only have a right to Eretz Yisrael if you plan to build a Beis HaMikdash. In other words, to take over Eretz Yisrael in order to lead up to the Geula. That's the definition of Geula. That's what the Ramban says in the Chumash. That is the definition of Geula. So we certainly should rejoice. The Ramban says one of the Taryag mitzvahs in the Torah, mitzvah deraisa ledoiris. He has in the Hashmatis to the minyan mitzvahs in the same place. I think mitzvah yud beis. He has 12 mitzvahs that the Rambam left out. So one of the minyan mitzvahs is to celebrate when you build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Acharonim say, why do we celebrate when we build the shul? Stop. Stop, you make a party. Fundraising function. You make a party. He says, no. The Acharonim say, no. Since a Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyad. And the Ramban says that there's a mitzvah deraisa, one of the Taryag mitzvahs, to celebrate Bishas Chanukas HaMikdash when you build a Beis HaMikdash. So it's a mitzvah to celebrate also when you build a Mikdash Miyad. That's what Acharonim say, la halacha. And many hold that it's a mitzvah deraisa, just like building a Beis HaKnesses, building a Beis HaMedrash, a Yeshiva Chutzlar, it is a Mikdash Meyad. And some hold on a level of deraisa, and it's a partial Kiyama Mitzvah, the Yasali Mikdash. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that. Bir Alochan, it was Beis HaKnesses. He wants to say that it's a partial Mitzvah, partial Kiyama Mitzvah on a level of deraisa, to build a Shul or Yeshiva Chutzlar, it's the Mitzvah, the Yasali Mikdash. So too, it's a partial Kiyama Mitzvah of Chanukas HaMikdash, when you build a Yeshiva, or you build a Shul to celebrate Rishas HaChanukas. And not only is it a mitzvah, the way the Ramban says, not only is it a mitzvah to celebrate on the occasion of building the Beis HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah to celebrate on the occasion of something occurring which is an aschal to the Geula. We said it many times, on many different occasions, that the Nesivis in his commentary on Megillas Esther says this, there's a mitzvah to celebrate when you have an aschal to the Geula, when the Geula begins. An aschal to the Geula is when you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says a similar dova. What's the aschal to the Geula? The Gemara says Melchames. When there's wars in Eretz Yisrael, that's Aschal to the Gula. That's exactly what happened. On Hayir, when they established the government, right away they spoke by Yom, the same day the Arabs were fighting. They didn't want to let the Jews have a government. That's exactly what the Gemara says in Megillah. Melchamas are Aschal to the Gula. So the beginning of the war, not the success in winning the Melchamet HaShachur. The beginning of the war is the Aschal to the Gula. The establishment of the Medina and the breaking out of the war is what the Gemara considers Aschal to the Gula. And the Nesiva says that's an occasion for rejoicing. And not just on that day. On the first day when they established it, the Jews were singing and dancing all over the world. I remember as a little boy, I lived in Philadelphia at that time. So I remember, I think it was the Sunday right after. It was on Friday they established the Medina, and Hayir was on Shabbos, and they signed this declaration on Friday, not even called Shabbos. Even though most of them were not observant at all. Most of the people assigned them were not religious. I remember on that Sunday, I used to live on a street that was a main thoroughfare. A lot of cars used to go from a big highway that led from New Jersey to Philadelphia, from over the bridge into Philadelphia. So there were a lot of cars traveling to go from one highway to another. So remember, there were cars, his mother used to have American flags, all kinds of flags. So one car had a Mogen Dovid on it. So he asked my father, what kind of flag is that? So he told me they just established New Medina, and this guy already had a flag. The first Sunday. After Hakamas HaMedina, this guy was driving in a car with an Israeli flag. They must have manufactured them in advance. Right away, he already had a flag. So the Gemara tells us not only is there an inyan to celebrate on the occasion of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, on the occasion of Aschalta de Gula, we celebrate every year in commemoration of this. That's exactly what Purim is all about. That's what the Nesivis explains in his commentary on Megillah says that Purim was before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. It was the Aschalta de Gula. The Chachamim in our generation saw Beruach HaKodesh that this Nes Purim is going to lead up to the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So therefore they felt that they had the right to establish a Yontif, and that every year, every consequent year, we celebrate in commemoration of that Aschalta de Gula. Today you don't have to have anybody with Ruach HaKodesh to tell you. The Gemara tells you that this Aschalta de Gula, that the Nes Purim should lead up to Binyan Bayis Sheni, that to have people with Ruach HaKodesh. But if you establish a government in Eretz Yisrael, and the Arabs start right away to fight a war, that's what the Gemara tells you. The Gemara had the Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says, the Gimel mitzvahs that lead up to Binyan Beis HaMikdash versus the Gula are establishing a government, L'Hachazara Shalom Malach and Livnas Beis HaBchira. And then the Gemara says, when you establish a government, then there's going to be Mohammeds. It's understandable. The Arabs don't want the Jews to have a government. So the Gemara tells you that that's the Aschal to the Gula. So you don't need people with Ruach HaKodesh. The only taina that so many Rabbonim had, the Chazon Ish and the Chazon Ish's brother, the Stipler, was such a famous person, and the Briskerov, so many others that were so opposed to celebrating Yom HaTzmut, was for a different reason. They know this whole Cheshbon. The Stipler writes in his, they printed recently, the Stipler passed away a few years ago. When was it? 3.5 years ago, in the summertime. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, he passed away. So after he died, one of his relatives, one of his grandsons, I think, collected various letters of his and he put it out. It's called Kraina de Igarta. Interesting title. Kraina de Igarta. So they have a collection of letters on various topics. So the one of the letters has the following. Somebody asked the stipler whether it's proper to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, because he looked in the Shulchan Aruch and he didn't find anything about Yom HaTzmaut, so he's wondering whether we should celebrate. So the stipler writes, I also looked in Shulchan Aruch on different occasions and I never found it, so obviously you don't have to celebrate. What kind of a funny reason is that? How is he going to find the... So then he writes in the next paragraph, he writes what's bothering him. A different thing. He knows the whole Cheshbon HaSchalta Degula. He's not going to deny the Gemara. He's not going to deny the facts. He's going to say it's not a Jewish government and so on. He can say it's not a religious government. Shamir is going to be the first one to say that he's not religious. He doesn't claim that he's religious. None of them claim that they're religious. They're not fooling us. They say they're not. They say they're anti-religious, but they don't say they're not Jewish. All the Ummah Salem know that it's a Jewish country and it's a Jewish government. Leis man de palik. Everybody knows that. Stipler has a different taina, and that's the issue. The Gemara tells us when you make a new takana, all new takanas have to be instituted l'shmo, l'shem shemayim. If the one who institutes a new takana or a new minig, a minig also, one who institutes a new minig, even if it's a beautiful idea that represents a lofty kavana, but if it's instituted shaloi l'shmo, then you're not permitted to observe that takana. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, this is quoted in Yerideya, that the Achreinim on the side of the Yerideya, right, is based on Gemara. They wanted to compose v'lam al shinim, they wanted to compose a bracha v'lam al shinim, to curse the apikurism, so they had to have a person who was a mild person. They had to get Shmuel HaKotam, was a very mild person. There were some people who enjoy cursing everybody. They curse and they fight and they scream and they make machos and they make, they're always tumbling. So they didn't want a person like that, that he should compose v'lam al shinim. They had to get a person who was so arayz giton from kinah and sinah and machloikas, they had to get Shmuel HaKotam, who was such a tzaddik. He always would say, b'nefolo yivcha al tismach. That's how the Gemara tells us. He was such a heilig tzaddik, he never had anything in against anybody. So they had him compose a nusach of Olam HaShinim that it should be composed l'shem shemayim. And the same is true regarding any takana. It says in Yerideya that if an Adam Rasha institutes a takana, even if the takana is a very good takana, you're not allowed to observe that minik. You're not allowed to observe that takana. Because since he was an Adam Rasha, we assume that it wasn't instituted l'shem shemayim. Even though it's a very nice idea. So here, many of the tzaddikim, many of the goyim and Eretz Yisrael, that all of those Rabbanim from the Mizrahi who recommended that we should celebrate Yom HaTzmaut and so on, they felt that these people weren't doing it l'shem shamayim. That they were so carried away with their feelings about Zionism and about Medinas Israel, that they felt that even the Jewish religion has to bow down to the Zionist ideal, which is a higher and a loftier ideal than everything in the world, even higher than the Jewish God, even higher than the Jewish religion. So we have to make a Yom Tov of Yom HaTzmaut to show that even the religion bows down in the presence of Zionists. So that was the understanding of many Gedolim. That's why the Stipler and the Chazon Ish and the Brisk Rav were so opposed. They were all opposed to the government that nobody likes. Everybody doesn't like the non-observant Jews running the government. We don't like it just as much as they don't like it. But they were opposed to celebrating these Yom Tov because they felt that the people who instituted them made them Shaloi L'shmo. And others feel that it's not so. That's a question of fact. That the Rabbonim, from the Rabbonis HaRashis, who instituted this notion of having a Yom Tov of Yom HaTzmaut, did they make the Takana Shaloi L'shmo? Did they make the Takana L'shmo? So we know, my father knew one of the Rabbonim, the one they called Mabaser, Rabbi Shulman Brewer, who wrote the, he was the one who wrote the big tshuva. He was a great Goyen Adi, he was a Poki Niflo. Everybody asked him, Shaloi L'shmo. There were so many others from the Rabbanos HaRoshes who recommended that they should establish these Yom Tov. We're not talking about rabbis who are politicians, know a little bit how to learn. We're talking about great Goyne Hador, great Goyne Madir. And these people felt that it's proper to establish a Yom Tov. It's very hard to say that they did Shaloi L'shmo. We knew who these people were.
The government established it
as a secular day, like July 4th. And then these Rabbanos felt that the religious Jews should celebrate it as a religious holiday, that it doesn't only have secular value, like the Jews in America celebrate July 4th as a national holiday of America, but not in the religious sense. But the Rabbanim of the Mizrahi felt that we should celebrate by adding on tefillas and whatever, something, we should make some kind of a heker on Yom HaTzmaut, because they felt that it's a religious holiday as well. So it's hard to say. The stipler was convinced that they did it Shaloi L'shmo. They were convinced also that Rav Herzog didn't like tefillin, that he didn't daven. I remember Shmuel Soloveitchik, Rav Yosher Ber's brother, the one who's the chemist in the yeshiva. He told us that he visited not only them, he said he visited his uncle, Rav Velvel in Eretz Yisrael. And he was talking about Rav Herzog, the Rav Rosh. He says they said he doesn't like tefillin. He said Rav Velvel's children said in the presence of Rav Velvel, he doesn't like tefillin. So he said, what do you mean he doesn't like tefillin? He saw him, he was wearing tefillin down. So his mumbling voice is not dumb. So they were convinced that they weren't observant, that they didn't do anything in Shem Shema. But some of us were zeichet to know these people. If people knew Rav Herzog. He was a holy tzaddik.
Finished last in 16.
Yeah. People knew Rav Meshulam. People knew many other people. Not talking about Rav Maimon. Rav Maimon was Rachi Rabbi. Okay, he was a Tanakh. I'm not talking about Rav Maimon. I'm talking about the big guns, the big Goyim Adirim who established this as a yontif, as a religious yontif. It's very hard to say that they did Shalal Lishma. So Lachar, if they did, if we assume that they did Lishma, so there's certainly no Isser in celebrating the yontif. Adirabbi. That's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, according to the Ramban. That's one of the Taryag mitzvahs, to celebrate when you build a Beis HaMikdash, when you make an Aschalta de Gula.
Is there any support for an Aschalta de Gula, if there is a mitzvah to make
Aliyah? Mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is in the Mishnah. It says the Farish, in the Mishnah in Ksuba. The question is, why is it that for so many generations the Jews didn't fulfill a mitzvah? Even the biggest tzaddikim didn't bother to live in Eretz Yisrael. So different suggestions are given why. So one of the many suggestions is that the mitzvah only applies really in its fullness when Eretz Yisrael is in Jewish control. When it's not a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no mitzvah. So for so many years, Eretz Yisrael wasn't governed by Jews, wasn't a Jewish country, so there was no mitzvah. Because the Pasuk says, they say based on the Pasuk, Rabbi Shula Kutna says, and others say, it says, you should grab hold of the land, establish a Jewish government, and then you should live there. And if it's not in Jewish hands, then the real mitzvah b'shleimus of living in Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply. So the Mele, once you have, not because it's an aschal to the Gula, but rather once you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then that explanation falls off, and then you would have the mitzvah b'shleimus to live in Eretz Yisrael.
What today, of course, the
Torah scholars are not there. There's a din that if a person won't, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if you're going to do something productive for the land. If a guy's just going to go and live there on pension and retire there, so he's also not really fulfilling the mitzvah. Let's say if you move to Eretz Yisrael and you work on a kibbutz, you work on a farm, or you move to Eretz Yisrael and you're in construction, you build houses, or you make highways, or you move to Eretz Yisrael and you become a rov, or you become a teacher, or you do something productive in Eretz Yisrael, then you fulfill the mitzvah. So if you have somebody who's very productive in Chutz La'aretz and he goes there, so it won't be so productive. He's more productive for the Jewish nation in Chutz La'aretz than in Eretz Yisrael. So then some say that it's a big mitzvah for him to stay in Chutz La'aretz. But many people, if they go to Eretz Yisrael, they'd be just as productive, if not more, than they are in Chutz La'aretz. So for them, it's takano teretz. All the Rabbanim in Chutz La'aretz talk it into themselves that they're all indispensable here. That if not for all these Rabbanim and Chutzlars, the whole Judaism would come to an end. No. But there's supposed to be a German expression that says that the cemetery is full of indispensable people. Yeah. So that's the question. How indispensable were they? Rav Kook prepared for Rav Chaim Oizen to come to Eretz Yisrael. He brought him home. And then the last minute he backed out and he sent him a letter that's printed. He said that he was convinced by the other Rabbanim that if he would leave Europe, it would be a great loss to the Jewish community. So even though he wants very much to move to Eretz Yisrael, he feels compelled to stay in Chutz La'aretz. So that's the question. All the rabbis in America are so crucial to Judaism here in America as Rav Chaim Oizer was in Europe. Rav Chaim Oizer was the central address for everything. He did everything. Everything was on his mind. The tzedakas and the psalkim and from all over the world to send him shachts. So all the Rabbanim in America feel apparently that they're so indispensable. No? If a person won't be able to make a parnas in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no mitzvah. Let's say a person has a job here and goes to Eretz Yisrael, he won't have a job. And life will be utterly miserable. And also there's no mitzvah. But life will not be so miserable. Just make a few dollars less. Instead of making $150,000 a year, and make $60,000 a year, whatever. But he'll make ends meet. So then that's not an excuse. If he'll make $5,000 a year, and they'll be very poor. That's a different story.
What about what the Torah taught the right that we made a promise that we wouldn't take Eretz Yisrael by force?
That's a valid point before the year 1948. That was a big machlokes that was going on in Europe, whether you're permitted to organize a Zionist movement to regain Eretz Yisrael or not. So maybe they did right in 1948, maybe they did wrong. Now it's Lacha HaMaisa. There's nothing to discuss now. What are you going to say now? We should give it away. We're not allowed to give it away. Until 1948, there was an issue whether he's supposed to fight or not. But once you have it, you have it. The Rekaita just keeps on, and the newspapers are so they quote that they are the, they identify themselves in the newspaper as the Jews, the Orthodox Jews who carry in the footsteps of the patriarchs. See, the other Jews, there was a parade yesterday on Fifth Avenue, so all the other Jews on Fifth Avenue, they don't follow in the footsteps of the patriarchs, only those five people there.
Yeah.
You should know that one of the five people studied in YU. He's a Yekker. He lives in the 50 Overlook Terrace. His parents are both Yekkers, and they sent him to YU, to high school, and YU makes everybody call you. So this kid, after graduating high school, went to Eretz Yisrael. He fell in Meir Shorim. Now he wears long black socks with a big kapelush, with a big white hat, and he looks like a realtor accountant with the long pays. And when he takes off the black hat, you see the white yarmulke there, the knitted white yarmulke that like the people wear. And he davens from his siddur, and he shows everybody in Broya Shul. Shows everybody, see, his siddur is printed. It was printed last year in Eretz Yisrael. Siddur was printed in occupied Palestine. That's what it says in his siddur. I daven from a siddur that's printed in occupied Palestine. So that's it. So one of the people who was demonstrating yesterday was why are you guys number Fafir? They ruin him. And the other also. So they advertise in the newspapers, in Turkite advertise, that they're the ones who follow in the footsteps of the patriarchs, and they follow in the footsteps of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That there was a fight between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Biryani, the Jewish hoodlums, the Jewish gangsters, whether they should make peace with Vespasian, with the Romans or not, in the year 70. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, representing all the Tanaim, he was the Rosh HaTanaim, he was the chief rabbi, he said he wanted to give up. He wanted to make peace with the Romans, that they shouldn't kill him. And the Biryani didn't want. So you see, they write that we follow in the footsteps of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that they want to give away the whole Medina to the enemy, just like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gave it away. There's just one slight difference. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was willing to give up, to surrender, because they were fighting a losing battle. The Biryonim were fighting a losing battle, and there is no mitzvah in the Torah to fight a losing battle. If you see in advance, the enemy, they have to fight till the last man. And we say that the people of Masada were wrong. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is right against the Biryani, against these Mishugans. Halacha says that if you know that you're going to lose the war, so you surrender. And maybe they won't kill you. And they didn't. And they didn't kill Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And they didn't kill all the Rabbanim and Yavin. And they let them have yeshiva. And they let them learn. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a stupid mistake. The Gemara says that he should have asked that they shouldn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his seichel. He made a stupid mistake. He should have asked for, let them have the Beis HaMikdash. He made a mistake. Instead he said, but the reason why he surrendered was because he knew in advance, which was true, that they were fighting a losing battle. Now absolutely is no mitzvah to fight a losing battle. But if you're fighting a winning war, so then there's a mitzvah to fight a winning war. The only question is, are they winning or losing? That's another shaila. So that you have to determine whether you feel that that's a winning war or a losing war, because they keep on losing more and more people. That's another shame. How do you determine whether it's winning or losing? But the halacha says if you're fighting a winning war, then you have to fight. Even if you're losing a lot of people, you have to fight in order to win. Every war you lose. That's the halacha. Every war people are going to be killed with Erech HaTev, and you have to fight. So that's why it is a big mitzvah. The Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never appears to human beings as being sad. Hod v'hod alafon arayiz v'ched v'nim kama, always freilach. Always happy, always cheerful. The Gemara says, but what about, there's another pasuk. The Gemara, the first paragraph of Chagiga says, but there's another pasuk that says, b'mistarim tivken afshi, that the Rabbanu Shlomo cries. The Gemara says, yeah, that's b'mistarim, that's privately he cries, but publicly he doesn't let anybody see that he cries. The Kadosh Baruch Hu hides his emotions, that he doesn't let people see that he's unhappy about the way things are running in the world. So the Gemara answers, habibati gavoy, habibati baroy. In the inner chambers, he's crying, b'mistarim. And the outer chambers, he doesn't let on. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides, and he doesn't let people see that that he's unhappy about the fact that Rishoyim Amatzlev. Then the Gemara asks, but there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the angels from heaven were crying, and the whole world knew that the Rabbanu Shlomo was sad. There were outer simanim. It was visible That's how the Gemara says it was visible that the Rabban Shalom was said at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says, oh, Churban Beis HaMikdash, that's a different story. The Gemara says, the whole Tachlis Bria Shemayim Ba'aretz was that there should be a Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara says. Why is it called Evan Shesiyah? Shemisham, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the second pack, Shemisham Nishtas Kol HaOilam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world first, He made this spot, and from there everything else expanded. The whole world expanded from the Evan Shesiyah. So the first spot that He built, that was the whole Tachlis Bria Shemayim Ba'aretz. He wanted to have a Beis HaMikdash. That's how it says in the Sifri Kabbalah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? So one of the, they give two answers. The Baal HaTanya quotes from the Sifri Kabbalah. One answer that they give is, Bikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyas lo dira b'tachtonim. He wanted to have a place to dwell in this world, and that's the Beis HaMikdash. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the whole Tachlis Bria Shemayim Ba'aretz was wasted, everything came to nothing, as if the Rabban Shalom created the world for no good purpose. So then there were visible symbols, outward symbols that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. And the Psukim say that Yismuch HaShemayim Sogal HaOretz V'yomer B'Agayim HaShem Moloch L'Hosid Lovu, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, then the whole Shemayim HaOretz will be rejoicing. There will be outward symbols that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. Why? What is the whole world going to be dancing and singing for? Because the whole Tachlis HaBriya will be fulfilled. The whole Tachlis HaBriya is to have a Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's an important mitzvah to celebrate when you build a Beis HaMikdash. That's time, not a mitzvah. You shake a lulav, and you say Krishna every day, and you Beis HaMikdash, and you celebrate. It's a gewaltige mitzvah. The Medrash says in the beginning of Shmini, Vahi b'yom HaShmini is the same lashon, Vahi yere v'hi v'yke yom echad, Vahi yere v'yke yom sheni. Why does it say Vahi b'yom HaShmini? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy when the Beis HaMikdash was built, like when He created the world. What's the connection? Because the whole Tachlis HaBriya was that there should be a Beis HaMikdash. And for all those years, since the days of Adam and Rishon, there was no Beis HaMikdash. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu made the Beis HaMikdash, so the Tachlis HaBriya was fulfilled. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so was outward symbols that He was saying. And Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, it'll be outward symbols that He will be happy again, and the whole world will be rejoicing. So it's one of the major mitzvahs, not stam, another mitzvah. You build the Beis HaMikdash and Yisameach. That's called the Gula Asida. That is the definition of Gula. The Ramban says Gula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So when you have an Aschalta de Gula, and then the Siva says that that's also room to celebrate. He says that's the Holy Yisoyra Yontav of Purim. We are very happy on Purim. We rejoice an awful lot on Purim. So you're supposed to be Sameach Meod when you have the Aschalta de Gula. It could have been a nicer Aschalta de Gula. Could have been with a Frumer government and everything. It was Zoche. He would have been Zoche. If the Jews would have been a little more observant, then it would have been Achishena. It would have been Min HaShemayim, would have been Dorach Kaichem Yag. It was, unfortunately, it was Loizoku, so we're not going to have, it doesn't look like there's going to be a supernatural Gula. It's going to go in a very slow process. And it's going to be, instead of a Kaichem, it's going to be a Shevet, and it's going to take a long time till the Gula Asida will be fulfilled, till it will be completed. But it's definitely room for celebration. Just because a person celebrates and he marches in the Israeli parade doesn't mean that he's happy with the Chil Shabbos and all the violations of the Torah Kedoshah that are going on in Eretz Yisrael. It means that he's happy that there's an Aschal to the Gula. Let's say in the days of Mordechai Esther, they celebrated a Yontif. They were happy that Esther was living with a Goy. And she lived with that Goy for a long time, till the day that she died. She didn't get divorced from Achashverosh. And she had a son with that Goy, Artaxerxes. And he was brought up as a Sheged's Gomer. Artaxerxes was the king. After his father, Achashverosh, died, Artaxerxes took over the kingdom. He was not a religious fellow. He was a Jew, born from an intermarriage. Esther Hamalka, Esther was a tzaddikus. Hadassah means a tzaddikus. Esther Hamalka had to live with this guy. She had no brain. Unfortunately, the Aschalta de Gula had to start in a very terrible fashion. But the Chachamim in that generation saw Beruach HaKodesh that was Aschalta de Gula. We don't need any Beruach HaKodesh. We see from the Gemara that this is Aschalta de Gula. So there's certainly room to celebrate. And just like then, when they celebrated Purim, they were not celebrating about the fact that there's a Jewish girl who's intermarried with the king. They were crying about that. And she was not only a Jewish girl, she was an Eishes Ish. The Gemara says she was still married to Mordechai. And she was an Eishes Ish as Inso. And the Gemara says he didn't, Tosfos points out, he didn't give her a get. He was scared to give her a get. He was afraid that Achashverosh would kill him, or kill her. He was afraid. So he never gave her a get. So it was not only an intermarriage, it was an Eishes Ish as Inso that was going on over there. And they still celebrated Purim. We still as well celebrate Purim Arayam Hazeh, because that's considered the Aschalta de Gula of the Bai Sheni and the Bai Zashlishi. So when we celebrate now, it doesn't mean that we're celebrating from A to Z. We're happy about everything that happened. We're happy about the fact that the first step that's going to lead up to Binyan Bayis HaShlishi is here with us. Rav Soloveitchik said many years ago in Adrasha, he was speaking about, I remember I was a little boy, kept on speaking about Kol Dodi Dofek. That's the title. That remember, he was banging on the Shlein, Kol Dodi Dofek, about the different times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us opportunities to come back to Eretz Yisrael. In the middle of that Rashi part, that's, I don't think this is printed, and the printed version of Kol Dodi Dofek, he slipped this in the middle. He said that there are those who feel that on Yom HaTzmaut, they don't have to observe the Avelis of Sfira. And Eretz Yisrael, they said that Tzvi Yehuda Cook used to insist that everybody from the yeshiva has to take a haircut and has to shave, those who didn't shave and take a haircut. He said, whoever doesn't shave, whoever doesn't take a haircut, on Yom HaTzmaut, HaKoras Paneihem Onsabon. He said, you see that they're not Maminim, that they don't believe the Gula is here with us. Soloveitchik said he doesn't really see that. He doesn't see why, what's the connection. Even if you hold Alek with the Zach and the Medina and the Haskalta the Gula and everything, he doesn't see why that should be a het to violate Tzvi. All right, to celebrate to the extent that it's necessary to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, however you celebrate. Let's say in Yeshiva they're having comedians this year. I don't understand how that's a celebration of Haskalta the Gula. Having Yoel Sharabi sing, I don't see how that fits in Haskalta the Gula either. It just doesn't jive. I would have some religious fella sing Zmiris Yisrachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would have imagined a better way of celebrating Haskalta the Gula. But let's say if you want to sing with Shiris Yisrachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, religious people singing and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the future, I can see that the plain music on such an occasion wouldn't be so gefell. I can see that. But Rav Soloveitchik saw, he felt that he doesn't see. I had to go make chasanis on Yom HaTzmaut, and I had to go take haircuts and that. He didn't think that it necessarily has to be tied up one with the other. And he gave a whole drasha that before every yontif, we always have a little bit of a cheshbon on nefesh. He said that on Erev Rosh Hashanah there's a meaning that you have a tainus. Shulchan Aruch, for many generations, they had a tainus. And before Sukkot, you have Yom Kippur. And before Pesach, you have Tainus Pcheres. Not too many people face Tainus Pcheres, but you have the Tainus Pcheres. And before Purim, you have Tainus Esther. Yeah. And then he said, before Shavuos, you have this Sfirit period. It's supposed to be a serious period of Cheshbon HaNefesh to prepare yourself for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. He said he doesn't really see why it should necessarily lead one to believe that he can violate all the laws, that everything goes on Yom HaTzmaut. Said to the extent that you want to celebrate the Yom HaTzmaut, okay, mechteisa, but to go make weddings, to go to haircuts, that he didn't see, huh? That part he didn't print up. It's interesting, in the drasha that appears in print, that he didn't. Okay, I just felt I wanted to speak a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. You have to have a proper perspective. Last week we learned an interesting gemara, just derech agav, the gemara made a statement that if you have an animal is a treifa, and it gives birth to a vlad. And the vlad is not a treifa, so you're permitted to eat that vlad. The Gemara even said a chiddush. If the treifa mother, treifa cow, gives birth to an egel, a calf, on yontif, you're permitted to shech that calf on yontif. That is not noilad, and it's not muktzin, there's no problem. But just derech agav, you see from the Gemara, forget about yontif, forget about muktzin, noilad, forget about all these things of hachonah. You see, on a regular Monday, a treifa animal gives birth to a vlad, you can eat the vlad. So the Rishonim ask, very strange, on this daf, nobody says a word. But in another place, in Bava Kamma, of all places, in Bava Kamma, daf Mem Vav, is where the Tosfos discusses, of all places, Bava Kamma. Should be in Chulam, it's a little bit in Chulam, but it's more so in Bava Kamma. In Bava Kamma, in the middle of Bava Kamma, daf Mem Vav, the Rishonim quote this Gemara, and they ask, Hayitochein. If you have an animal, the cow is a treifa, so every limb of the animal is a treifa. So the treifa becomes pregnant, so the uber is part of it. Abram, Abram, Reho. So let the uber also be a treifa. So what does it help when the uber pops out, the egel is born, the calf is born from the cow? Let the calf be also. If you have a treifa, everything, even the milk that comes out from the treifa is also. So let the vlad be also. For chayotzim and a treifa, everything should be also. That's their kash. So the Rishonim give two.
That's the case.
The din is that it's mutter.
Yeah.
Din says, no, the din says the fairish mutter. The question is, hayitachem?
Yeah.
We're not asking to change the din, we just want to understand why. Why is the din so? But the Gemara says, black and white over here, the din is that it's mutter. Even if the vlad is born on yontif from a treifa, you couldn't have shechted the mother and bimata the vlad, and on yontif, still, you can shech the vlad. So you see that the vlad is mutter. So that's this question posed by the Rabbein and Tam and the Reb. So they gave two answers. Some Rishonim said there is a machlokes tanoim and a machlokes amoraim. What do you say? Uba yerechimo or uba lav yerechimo? And there is Masichtas. Yeah, every other Masichtas in Shas, the Gemara brings up the question. Do you treat the Uber inside a pregnant cow or a pregnant woman? Same thing, the priest, the pregnant cow is not a pregnant woman, but the same issue, the same halachic issue that's involved. Whether the Uber is considered ke'ever me'vareho, is it one limb of the mother? The mother has many limbs, so it's nocha limb. Like if a person has six fingers on his hand. So the mother has something, nocha zach, growing inside of her. Ke'ever me'vareho, or do you treat the Uber as a separate entity? So some Rishonim say, if you would have said Uber Yerechimo, that the Uber is a limb of the mother's body, then you would be bothered with a problem. How can it be? If the mother is a treifah, so the Uber is part of the mother, so it's all part of the treifah, so how can you eat the Uber? The answer is Uber is Lav Yerechimo, and that's the raya from this Gemara that we pass from Uber Lav Yerechimo. Machlokes and Shas, Machlokes Panoim, and Machlokes Amaroim, and Machlokes the Ramam and the Rai, but how to pass from Allah Almighty, and Hilchas Avodim, and Perakei, and Hilchas Avodim. So one of the Rishonim, I forgot, either the Ri or the Rabbein in time, brings the right from our Gemara, the fact that the Gemara paskins halacha l'maisa that the Vlad Trefa is mutter, is a machlokes in the end of Tamura, where the Vlad Trefa is mutter, and we paskin like our Gemara that it is mutter, that's a clear-cut proof that Uber is Lav Yerechimo.
Beitz
Eretz. You don't say, what are you going to say, Lav Yerechimo? That's a din of Yoytze Minoros. So Yoytze Minoros is awesome. But the Uber, I say, was, you have two Balei Chaim. I have the mother and you have the Uber. You don't say that the Uber is a Yoytze from the mother. The Uber is a separate, Uber Lav Yerechim is a separate entity. Even though it's really a parasite, it's living off of the mother, but still it's not Kev and Meivareh. And the other Rishonim disagree, and they said, what kind of a proof is that? Even if you hold that Uber Yerechimoy, so what? What if you have an animal that's a Trefah? There's something wrong with the animal. There's a hole in the law. You take the animal to a doctor, he cuts open the chest cavity, makes an operation, he fixes up the lung, and it's as good as ever. He closes up the chest, he sews it up again. You make an operation, you cure it. So what would it be the din if an animal had, let's say, a broken leg? If a leg is broken in a certain place, it's a trefa. But then you heal the leg. It's perfectly normal now. The animal lives at Me'aviyah Samshana, lives another 120 years. Obviously, it was a good operation. So what's the din if an animal became a trefa, and then you healed it, and it's no longer a trefa? It went away. So there's a din of mum. A mum, and by the karbonis, there's a din of a mum over if the behemoth is a bal mum. And then the mum heals, so then you're permitted to be makar v'anim mizbeach. That's a different thing that's totally unrelated. What if you have an animal with a trefa? And the trefa was healed medically. Would the din be that the animal is trefa chazeres lechsher or not? So the Rosh and Behemam Kasha, in the beginning of the fourth parak in Chulin, the third parak in Chulin is Eile Trefa. So lists off all the things that are trefa. And the beginning of Behemam Kasha, the next parak, the Rosh presents a machloikis between himself and the Ramban. What's the din of trefa, whether chazeres lechsher or not? The animal broke a leg in such a way that it's a trefa, and then the doctors healed it. Now it's perfectly healthy. Do you say that it remains osir? Once it became a treifa, it remains osir, even though the whole sibas atreifas has disappeared. But you say, no, it's only a treifa, calls man that it's a treifa. Once the treifas goes away, so the issa goes away. So that's a machloikas. So those Rishonim who hold that treifa chozeres lehechshero, that if you had an animal that was a treifa, and then the treifas disappeared, so that animal itself may be eaten. So they say, this Gemara absolutely doesn't pose any problem whatsoever. What's the whole problem over here? The cow was a trefa, and it gives birth to a blood which is not a trefa. If the cow itself would have been healed, it would be okay. So now that it gives birth to a bouncing baby calf, and it comes out perfectly healthy and normal, and everything you can't pull it, certainly good. The cow itself would be mutter b'chazeres l'chshir. So this is no haychoche, that Uber is lav yerechim, even if Uber is yerechimo. The Uber, the behemoth itself can be chazeres l'chshir. But the other Rishonim say, nothing doing, the Trefa is not Chazeres Lehechsher. That's how the Rosh holds. The Rosh insists against Raman, Trefa is not Chazeres Lehechsher. There's a strange Gemara, there's a Mishnah there in Behemam Kasha where it points out that if the leg of the animal is broken in a certain spot, leg is broken very low down, so it's not a Trefa. If the leg is broken higher up in a certain spot, it'll be a Trefa. If the leg is broken higher up, then it's not a Trefa. So Ramban asks, what are you talking about, he says. So anytime the leg is broken over there, where it's a trefa, break off another 2 inches and it'll be ois trefa. Yeah. So the Ramban says, Enachanami. If you're smart enough to break off another 2 inches of the leg higher up, and then you shech the behemoth, then it'll be good. But if you're such a dope that you shech the behemoth when it has the broken leg at that spot, yeah, you didn't break off more, then it's a trefa. So the Rosh says, and the Rosh disagrees, what are you talking about? Trefa chazeres. No. We assume that it'll heal medically.
No.
That it'll live on.
The bad spot, but a
There has it in the dead spot. We assume that that's going to cause it to die earlier. If it has it a few inches higher, we assume that it won't cause it to die. No, you break off. You break off the whole leg.
Oh, you break off the whole leg?
No, you broke off. Yeah, the whole. Yeah. The leg was chopped off at a certain spot, and then the whole animal becomes a trapha. Not just the leg. The whole animal becomes a trapha. So then the Mishnah seems to say if it would break off at a higher spot, it would not be a trefa. So the Ramban says that whenever it's broken at the lowest spot, so why is it a trefa? Chop off another few inches and it'll get a very nice trefa. So he says, then achenami, if the guy's smart, then he chops off higher, and then he shechts it, so it won't be a trefa. And the Rosh says, how can it be? When the Mishnah says if it breaks at the higher spot, it's not a trefa, that means it's melachatchila broke at the higher spot. But at first it broke at the lowest spot, and it became a trefa. Oh, once it's a trefa, it's a trefa. There's no way for it to become kosher, even if it's perfectly healed, and the doctors say that it's going to live on maybe some shana, does not. Treif is a treif. So that's the machlekes over here. The Ri and the Rabbein and Tam. Some Rishonim say, treif chazeres lach shera, what's the problem? So if a treif gives birth to an eagle, which is not a treifo, so chazeres lach shera, even if the uba was yerechimoy, no problem. And others say, no, treif ain't a chazeres lach shera. So how are you talking? So they say, it must be a haychache, the uba is lab yerechimoy.
So
no,
if you have a
trait
like cows, trait, it's not the trait.
You milk it. You milk it,
not
because
you
can't have the milk.
Not allowed to drink
the
milk.
Why not? Because this dollar comes out of the milk. Yaitzim
and Asim. That's
like the
egg.
Like the
egg. So
here, I'm not talking
about the egg. Why not say that the Vlad should be a Yaitzim and Asim? That's a good question. So then there's a Chabiz Das, Yeridei Simen Pei Aleph, where he makes a statement, nobody agrees with him. He makes a statement that Yotzim and Asr only applies by liquids that ooze out from the body of the cow. But if a whole vlad comes out, that's not a Yotzim and Asr. And even if you disagree with him, it's also not a Yotzim and Asr. We consider it a separate entity. They don't say that this was Yotzim from that. So it's a separate entity if you hold Uba Lav Yerachim. You have two Balichayim living, even though it's one is a parasite living on the other, but still, I say you have two Balichayim, and that's not a Yotzim from that. Even though medically it was a yetzir, the halacha doesn't call it a yetzir. So I'll call upon him and argue, Mare, there's no nafkamina la halacha. Whichever way you're going to derive, the din blives the same. That if the cow, the mother cow, was a treif and it gives birth to a vlad, which is not a treif, you may eat that vlad. So that's why there's no problem how we eat flesh by checking the behemoth. But maybe the mother or the grandmother, the great grandmother, all the way going back till sheishes and meibreishes. Maybe one of them was a treif and you're not allowed to eat all the descendants. So there's no kasha. The Gemara says mut. So what's an afkamina halacha lemaisa, whether it will be yarachim or will be yarachimah? So in Shulchan Aruch they have an afkamina. Very strange. The only place that it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch halacha lemaisa you're going to live is in Hilchas Erev Yom Kippur when you shlug kaparis. I don't shlug kaparis. For those people who shlug kaparis, it's apparently the two versions. Whether you take a chicken for each and every person, or you take one chicken for all the men and one chicken for all the women. So in Shulchan Aruch they discuss, according to those episodes, take a separate chicken for each and every person who needs a kapara. What do you do when a woman is pregnant? So do you take two or do you take one? The Vilna Gaon says that depends whether Uba Yerachimai or Uba Lav Yerachimai. So he writes, the Vilna Gaon writes in the Bir Agra in Hilchas Erev Yom Kippur, look in the Tosfos and Bava Kama Daf Mem Vav, and that's the major dispute, Halacha Lamaisa. That's the whole nafkamina. It's the only nafkamina that they go to Shulchan Aruch. And Hilchas Kaparis, all the big nafkaminas in the Gemara are with respect to Hakrovas Karbonis the Gemara has on pregnant behemoths. Other nafkaminas by setting free a Shivcha Knainis or the Uber of Shivcha Knainis, we don't have any of that stuff today. The only nafkamina halacha l'maisa that some people still have today is by the pregnant woman when she shlugs Kaparis, how many chickens does she need? There is one of the great poskim. There's a Tshuva Sefer called Toras Chesed. It's written by the Lublina Rav. The style was in Europe in the last century when the Rabbanim would become old and they would retire, they would all go to Eretz Yisrael. And they would live in Eretz Yisrael. So one of these great Rabbanim who lived in Eretz Yisrael after he retired was the Lublina Rav. And he wrote this Sefer Toras Chesed. He was from the Eidach HaRedis. He was on the Bezna of the Eidach HaRedis years ago. 80 years ago. 70, 80 years ago. He has a Tshuva about abortions. He talks a lot about abortions. It's us. It's forbidden to make an abortion. The question is, what's the Yisra? And he said, Derais. There are three different opinions in the Pesukim. Whether it's Nisa Derais, it's Nisa Derabbanan, or it's Mutta. Yes, no, maybe. Three different opinions. Nisa Derais, Nisa Derabbanan, Mutta. And generally assume that it's a real Nisa Derais. There's a Raya from a Mishnah, and from a Gemara, and some Hedrin, from a Tosfos. We assume it's a Nisa Derais. But what is the nature of the Nisa Derais? That's yet an issue. So some Pesukim say it's a Nisa Chavola. Just like if I cut, let's say if I have six fingers and I cut off the sixth finger, that's not chavola. I want to have normal, but if I have five fingers, and I cut off the fifth finger and I'm left with four, that's an isa chavola. I cut off my nose, that's an isa chavola, unless I do it for medical purposes. But it's also lodim, lachbo biatzmas. A woman is going to make an abortion, that's an isa chavola. So even if she can't afford to have another baby, they're so poor, but you're not allowed it. Let's say I never have no, I want to buy a home in months, I can't afford it. So if someone is missing a finger, and if I'll give him, he's missing a right hand, so I'll give him my right hand, and he'll pay me $500,000, and I'll buy my home in Muncie, so I'll walk around the rest of my life without a right hand, but I have the home in Muncie. So the din is that it's awesome. Just like you're not allowed to eat chazer in order to make $500,000, and you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur in order to make $500,000, you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, to eat chazer, to cut off your hand for the purpose of pikuach nefesh. Or to make an operation, let's say, for a cosmetic surgeon, to make an operation to look better. That's by definition, it's not called the chavola. So whenever it's the tikkun aguf, then it's mutar. Whenever it's for the purpose of pikuach nefesh, then it's mutar. But if you want to cut off your hand in order to make money, let's say a person wants to donate blood in order to make money, that you're not allowed to do. That's chavola, just for making money. So that's like, you're allowed to donate blood for the purpose of pikuach nefesh. But to donate blood, not for the purpose of pikuach nefesh, just want to make a couple of dollars. I have a relative of mine who couldn't afford, he already has zeinikloch, so he couldn't afford to buy a ring. When he got engaged, couldn't afford to buy a nice ring for his kala. Everybody in the family was very poor then. So he would donate blood every 2 months, or whatever the minimum time is you have to wait. And they would give him money. So he collected it from a few months of donating blood. He collected money. And then he got up enough money to buy whatever kind of ring he bought for his wife. Now he's a very wealthy man. Not from donating blood. Must have got into some, I don't know exactly what he did for a living, but he made money in some other area. So, to give blood for the purpose of making money, that's an isa deraisa, it's chavola. That's like eating chazer. For pikuach nefesh, if he has no, but he has enough money to live. He just wanted to buy a ring for his girlfriend when he got engaged. So that's an isa.
Blood is a pikuach nefesh.
Oh, if you give the blood in order...
He didn't give it, but the blood in its ultimate end.
Oh, okay. So if he donated the blood for the sake of pikuach nefesh, and he also had a mind to make a little money on the side, that's perfectly all right. The Gemara has a mashal in Menachos. Let's say a baby is drowning in the river. And I run with a net in order to pull a baby out, and I know that when you pull a baby out, you're going to pull out some fish also. Mm-hmm. And I want to eat some fish, not on Shabbos, but I'll cook the fish on Mitzvah Shabbos. So the Gemara says, that's perfectly all right. If my major interest is the pikuach nefesh, and I also have a minor interest, they're going to have money there, right? To get some money, other things also, that's okay. Are they going to pay me for saving the baby's life? There's a reward. But if my major interest is the pikuach nefesh, and the minor interest is gam kein, a little hanor hatzman is gam tzfar. But if the major interest is no one else was donating blood every other month, the other members of the family were frum, pikuach nefesh, you know, till the sky, but no one was giving blood every other month. So what prompted him, what was the major impetus that prompted him to give blood every other month? To get money. So his major interest really was to get money. The minor interest was the pikuach nefesh gam kein on the side. So that's highly questionable. The pashtus is that's not a hefzer. You have to have your major motivation should be for the shame pikuach nefesh, then you have a hetter. If you do or not, yeah. For Nachri, there's no isa chavol. Yeah. Oh, pikuach nefesh shall Yisrael. Yeah. Pikuach nefesh shall Yisrael. Yeah. So the poskim have this question. If a woman wants to have an abortion because she just can't afford to have another child, so that's not permissible. Just like if I want to cut off one of my five fingers in order to make money on it, you're not allowed. What if the woman is very nervous and she's going to have another baby? She's going to get sick. But we're not afraid she's going to drop dead. She's not going to die from having another baby. But it'll be extremely, extremely difficult on her. So if a person would have six fingers, you would say there's no isa chavola to cut off the sixth finger. If a person has an ugly face, so all the 99% of the contemporary costume assume that it's permissible to do cosmetic surgery. A person has ugly teeth, so we assume that you're also permitted to fool around even though you cause bleeding in the mouth, and bleeding is isa chavola, but you don't say that that's chavola shlotzer, that's for tikkun aguf, so that's okay. So what if the doctors recommend for tikkun aguf, it's healthier for this woman that she should have an abortion? So the Mishnah says in Aholis, in Perek Zayin and Aholis, of all places, Perek Zayin and Aholis about abortions. So Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin Dafayin Beis quotes the Mishnah. It's a mazel that the Gemara quotes it, otherwise no one would ever know that. Whoever studies a Holos, normal people, Chutz, we study the Daf Yomi, some people studying yeshivas, they study Sanhedrin once more. Mishnah is a Holos, nobody ever learned. So the Mishnah says you're only permitted to abort the baby if the mother's life is in danger. What do you mean the mother's life should be in danger? So that Mishnah clearly implies that the violation involved in abortion is an Isa Ritzicha. He's only permitted to kill the baby if the mother's life is in danger. It's like a raid. It's an issue of sakonas nefashos. But otherwise, you're not allowed to kill a yibum. So the Torah's Chesed points out, yeah, the Mishnah there is talking that the woman is already in labor. When a woman is already yashva la mashber, the woman is in labor, then I say that killing the uber at that stage is an iser ritzicha, and the only time it'll be muta would be when the mother's life is in danger. What if she's not holding by the end? She's not holding there. What if she's way before labor? She's way before that. So maybe then the iser is only chavola. What is the iser? So he points out, the Torah's Chesed points out, there's a ran in Perigela Trefus. The Tosis in Bava Kamma, of all places, talks about this on Daphne and Bob. So there's a ran in the other Trefus, a little closer to home base, where the ran talks about this story over here, the Rina Rabinatam. And the ran says, another major Nafkamina that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch is Bashlon and Kaparis, where there will be Yerachimai. So the ran says, there's another Nafkamina where there will be Yerachimai. What's the violation in aborting the child? We assume that it's an Issa Deraisa. Is it an Issa Chavola? That's all an Issa Chavola. So whenever it's medically recommended, it would be Mutter. But if it's an Issa Ritzicha, then it would only be Mutter if it's to save the life of the mother. So he says, after the woman is already in labor, or after maybe even after the ninth, she enters into the ninth month, maybe even before she's in labor, then we'll assume that it's an Issa Ritzicha, and the only time it'll be Mutter will be if her life is in danger. What if she's not holding by labor, she's not holding by the ninth month? She's in the middle of the pregnancy. So the Ran assumes that this will be a dispute between the Ri and the Rabbein and Tam, whether it will only be mutter to do an abortion when her life is in danger because it's an Issa Ritzicha. So the only time it's a heter is when there's a sakanas nefashis for the mother. Oh no, it's only an Issa Chavola. So whenever it's for the good health of the mother, it's medically recommended. Not that it's economically recommended. It's medically recommended for the mother, not that she's lazy, she'd rather run around and play tennis and go to mahjong parties or whatever. No. She's mamish going to be sick from having this baby. Physically sick or mentally sick. Not some that it's not her style of living. If the woman is going to be sick and the doctors recommend medically, so then for tikkun aguf, then it wouldn't be an issur
havamah. You know the baby has an illness, sometimes they know in advance, and the baby has a syndrome or something like that. Would that be considered a reason for abortion?
Oh, so then if l'chayre, if it's an issur ritzicha, then it wouldn't be any heter. But if it's only an issur havamah, then l'chayre it makes sense that there should be no issur havamah. What if I have a growth on my arm? Have a growth. Is an Issa Chavola to cut off the growth? It's an unwanted growth. So it's medically not recommended. So if the woman has a growth inside of her, it's medically not recommended. No. So that's the Shaila. When everybody agrees, all the Paschim agree that at an early stage it's only an Issa Chavola. When you get to a later stage it's an Issa Ritzicha. The only machlokes they have is when is the cutoff point. So some hold that the cutoff point is 40 days, because the Gemara says that in the first 40 days of pregnancy there's not yet a tzuras of vlad, and we label the vlad as maya b'yalma. It's only maya b'yalma. And after the 40 days, then it's no longer maya b'yalma, then it's called an uber. But then there's another stage of kodolai chadosho after the ninth month. Question whether the beginning of the ninth month, the end of the ninth month, what's called kodolai chadosho, a discussion in the Gemara, and then the Shulchan Aruch, they say the beginning of the ninth month. And then there's yashva l'mashber, when the woman is in the labor. So that's the machlokes in the Paskin. What is the cutoff point? Is it the 40 days? Or is it the ninth month? Or is it the later? One of the contemporary Paskim in Eretz wrote a tshuva, so he said the first trimester. So that's where Moshe Feinstein said, what are you talking, the first trimester? Where does that come from? It has no halachic significance at all. That's an andamaisa, that after, whether the woman has to fast on Tisha B'Av or not, if she's pregnant for 3 months, then she doesn't have to fast on Tisha B'Av. She's pregnant for less than 3 months, then she has to fast on Tisha B'Av. It has nothing to do with we're not talking whether the mother has the status of a Chol L'Shem B'Sakon. We're talking whether the Uber has the status of a Nefesh, and it's an Isser Ritzicha to kill a Uber, or it's Geva Meivareh, and it's only an Isser of Chavolah to kill a Uber. So where does the first trimester play a role in this issue? It's either 40 days of the cutoff point, or Kol L'Chadosho, the beginning of the ninth month, or labor. Those are the three shittas that the post came. So this Goyen from Eidah Haredes, he was a famous Goyen. The one who wrote the Loblino Rav who wrote the Torah's Chesed. He's Mekel. He's Mekel on the abortions. And he's the one that all of the later Paschim, all those who are Mekel, all quote his truth. Everybody quotes his truth. And now the Rabbanim who are all Machmet today, they never, all of a sudden, nobody ever heard of the Torah's Chesed. He never existed. What do you mean? He was one of the great Goyenim in Eretz Yisrael. He just, everybody knew him. One of the great Goyenim in Eretz Yisrael. From the Badats, from the Eidah Haredes Badats. That's all. The source of all this is this Gemara. Absolutely, sure. He's famous.
the sheet that says it's Ritzika, how do they interpret as interpret custom mishpat when you set a rock on a woman in the river dies in order to take us?
Right, it says in the Chumash that if you kill the mother, you chay misa. If you kill you, but you're not chay misa. So that's the din. If you kill you, but you're not chay misa, even if it should be an isa ritzicha, but there's no chay misa. The oynish of misa is only after the person is born. That everybody has to agree. That's the passing of Chumash. Still could be an isa ritzicha. An isa ritzicha without a punishment. Let's say I kill a nachri. Mutala harob nachri. Is that awesome? The isa loy sirtza. Aval hargis a nachri, lo chay misa. That's all. But it doesn't mean it's mutter. It's not just a nisa chavola, it's a nisa ritzicha, it's an aseres adib, it's lois sirtzach, but the Torah doesn't give an einish. But, so that could be, that's what some Rishonim hold, that the same is true, you kill an Uber, it's a nisa ritzicha, but there's no einish.
No,
you see from that parsha that
there's no einish. He said up to 9 months, considered
he's mistopic whether the cutoff point is 9 months, or the cutoff point is labor. That he's not sure about.
But after 9 months, he
would
be
marked
based on
Kabbalah. Yeah, that's what he says, based on our Gemara. He says, in our Gemara, it says that the Vlad that's born is not a Vlad that's born from the Trefa is Mutter. And the Ri and the Rabbi in the time had the Machloek is why is it Mutter? So some said that Uber Lav Yerachimai, and others said, no, that Uber Yerachimai, but Trefa Chazeres Lachsher. And then he quotes that Ran and Eilu Trefas and Chulam, where he discusses it. And the Ran gives this nafkamina about abortions. The Ran quotes a Gemara in Erechin. There's a Gemara in Erechin Dav Zayin, the end of the first paragraph in Erechin, that talks about a woman who's chayiv misa. A woman was Mechal Shabbos, a woman was Abed Avodah Zarah, a woman was Mezana, Nation Sishazin, so whatever. A woman is chayiv misa for some reason or another. And the woman happens to be pregnant. So the Mishnah says, when an Isha Hamuberis is chayiv misa, Eimam Tinam Lo Atshatelet. You don't wait till she gives birth to the baby to give her the misa and let the baby live. You kill her, she's chayiv misa, you kill her with the Uber. But the Mishnah says, what if Yashva Lamashbe, what if she's already in labor? Then you wait till the Uber is born, and then you kill the mother. So the Gemara asks on that Mishnah, what is the Chiddush of the Reish of the Mishnah? That if the woman is pregnant before she's holding by labor, that you don't Eimam Kina Lasha Teila, you don't wait till she gives birth to the baby. So the Gemara Kasha Pshita, Avadi, you don't wait. Avadi. So the Gemara answers, I would have thought that you have to wait. Why? If you would have asked me, the Ranzi, you would have asked me, why do you have to wait? Like this, you're killing two people. The baby wasn't Mechal Shabbos. The mother was Mechal Shabbos. So wait till the baby's born. So you'll only kill the mother. Mrs. Bezni ever had to kill the mother. She did the other. The baby didn't do anything. Why do you have a right to kill the baby? So one should have thought, the answer should be, it's not Pshita. I would have thought the baby is not Chaim Misa. The Gemara doesn't answer that. The Gemara says, the Gemara has to concoct such a Havamina. The Gemara says, it says in the Chumash and Parsha Mishpatim, that if you kill the Uber, you have to pay money to the father of the baby. So you see from the Chumash that that is the money of the father. So I would have thought that the Torah says you kill the woman because she was Mechal Shabbos, whatever, but you have no right to be mafsid the father his money. Sashod the geld. You have no right to be mafsid the father his money. This doch zayin uber. So that's why the Mishnah tells me, based on a pasuk, that you kill the Yisha who is Muberes, and you ignore the hefsid moment to the father. So the Ran says, why such a shvacha havamina? You mafsid the father, Ashod the geld. Says Hashod the Ibud Nefesh. What should he kill the Uber? So he says it would appear from that Gemara that the Gemara paskins lamaskana Uber Yerechimoy, and it's only an Issa Chavola to kill the Uber. It's not an Issa separate Issa Vitzicha. No, it's not that there's an Issa Vitzicha on the mother and an Issa Vitzicha on the Uber. It's only an Issa Chavola because Uber Yerechimoy. So if you're killing the mother anyway, so what are you worried? Nocha Chavola. You're killing the whole mother. She's Chai Misa. You're giving her the electric chair. She's Chai Misa for whatever she did. So Nocha Chavola. So the Uber goes along. So that's what the Ran says. From that Gemara would appear that the Psak Halacha Lamaisa that Uber Yerachim. That's what he says, and that the Issa Chavola, the Issa of making an abortion, is only an Issa Chavola. So that's what the Taras Chesed says. According to that Ran, whenever it's medically recommended, so then it would be permissible. So he thinks he can be Mekel. He thinks that even the Rambam, who seems to be very strict regarding killing the Uber, is only talking when the mother is already in the ninth month, or when the mother is ready, Yashva Lamajba. But if she's before that, so he thinks that even the Rambam would agree with all the other Rishonim, that it's only an Issa Havola, and it would be Mutter, the Mokum medical sort. And other Paskim didn't agree, but the Ran says it. They didn't agree, they hold the Rambam doesn't hold like that, but the Ran is black and white. The Ran says he didn't invent the Ran, he just discovered the Ran.
When you kill a traitor, a coward, a killer,
That's the shame. Whether killing a treif is an iser, it's forbidden to kill a treif, but that's the shame. Is it only an iser chavola? There is an iser. That's the shame. Is it only an iser chavola, or is it an iser mitzicha without an einish mis? That's the shame. The innocuous Gemara is one of the major sources for the issue of abortion. This week's Sedra begins with the din ishi kisas really older zachar. So the Torah has a din when a baby is born, baby boy, you have to do the bris milah on the eighth day. So the Gemara Masechah Shabbos has a machlokes amoraim. Then the Gemara says it's a machlokes hatanoim. And how do we paskin? No conclusion. So we paskin that it's a sfeikah d'dina. There's three shitas, yes, no, maybe. So the Gemara has two shitas, yes or no. And we don't know, so we paskin maybe. We go the chumra in both directions. The Gemara has the shaila. The Torah has two dinim written one after the other. The one din is that the mother is a yoledes, is tameya for the first 7 days if she gives birth to a boy. And she's tameya for the first 2 weeks, for 14 days if she gives birth to a girl. And then it says in the Chumash also that the baby boy has to have the bris milah on the eighth day, one after the other, b'nishimachas. Is there any relationship? Totally unrelated. Tumah b'tara is lechut, and the milah b'shmini is lechut, two different dinim. So the Gemara has a machlokes amoraim. Maybe somehow the two should be connected. Maybe, and it's a machlokes tanoim and a machlokes amoraim and a shaila had a pas. Maybe the halacha says only if imo tameya leida, if the mother is tameya, if the birth was in such a fashion that the mother is tameya leida, then you have a din of milah bizman. If the mother is not tameya leida, then there's no milah bizman. The mainach kamina. So that's the shaila. What if there was a cesarean delivery? So the halacha says the only time the mother is tameya leida is if the leida was a natural leida. If it's cesarean, then the ima is not tameya leida. Machlokes hatanoim, Rav Lezer and Rabbanan, we paskin she's not. That's in Perek Yotzei Doifin. In Nida, so we paskin like the Rabbanan, that whenever it's a Yotzei Doifin, whenever it's a cesarean, so there's no tumas yoledes, not for a week and not for 14 days. So what if there was a cesarean birth? Is there a requirement for Milo Bismano on the 8th day? Or not at all. So because of this machlokes and because of the suffix, how we paskin, so you go the chumra in both directions. Both says you go the chumra in both directions. So if let's say the baby is born on Sunday, so you're not mal a baby right away. You have to wait till next Sunday, because maybe there is a din of Mila Bizman. But on the other hand, if the baby was delivered, this cesarean took place on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to do the bris Mila till next Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos either, because maybe there is no need for Mila Bizman on the 8th day. Maybe you could have done the Mila on Sunday, 6 days ago you could have done it. And you can do it tomorrow. There's no din of Mila Bizman. So since we are Mesupik, so we don't allow the Mila to be done, it's not Deicha Shabbos. But if it's on a weekday, then we don't do it within the first 6 days, you wait till the seventh. So that's a din. That's the din of Shulchanoch. That's the din of Shulchanoch. That whenever it's a cesarean delivery, so it's a suffix, and we say that it's not the Chashavs. So there is a strange Gemara in the second Perek in Chagig. The Gemara epis says that they were asking a shaila, what's the din if a virgin becomes pregnant? A virgin becomes pregnant. So some interpret the Gemara that they're talking somehow about the Christian faith. They're alluding to the Christian faith. And others say, Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel give no hidden kavanas. Talking halachic issue, not major. Yes. So Rashi learned, no, the Gemara is just talking like this. The din is that a kohen gadol is not permitted to marry a beulo. It says in the Torah, who he should be b'sulay yikar. A plain kohen is permitted to marry an almana. He can marry a woman who is not a virgin, but a kohen gadol has to marry dafke b'sula. So what if a girl swears by the Sefer Torah she never had any relations with any man? But she's pregnant, so yes, how did she become pregnant? She doesn't know. So the Gemara wants to know, is it, it's far-fetched that a girl should become pregnant without having had relations, so should we assume that she's telling the truth, and the Kohen Gadol is permitted to marry this pregnant girl? But they say no, that you have to assume that she's telling a lie, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry. So Rashi learns that's what the Gemara is talking about. Okay, so the Gemara debates how far-fetched is it that a girl should become a woman should become pregnant without having had the physical relation. Rabbeinu Hananel has a wild interpretation of that Gemara. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out, he says he doesn't understand what compelled Rabbeinu Hananel to say that pshat, but he says we have to observe the chumrah that comes out from Rabbeinu Hananel, because Tosis always refers to Rabbeinu Hananel as called the Varav Diri Kabbalah. You always have to think that maybe he heard it ish and piish since the Amoroi, since the Goin. So you can never tell. Rabbeinu Hananel sometimes just quoting old tradition, sometimes saying something new. Rabbeinu Hananel has a different interpretation. The Gemara there talks about a woman taking a bath and becoming pregnant without really having had relations with a man, and she became pregnant shaloi b'derech tashmish. So what's the shaila? So what's the shaila? So the Rabbeinu Chanan learns that the Gemara Safik is whether there's a din of Milu Bizmano or not. Whether the Milu is Deicha Shabbos, whether it's a Milu Bishmini. Whether she's Tmei or Meido. The din is that if it's if the baby was born not the normal way, right. If it's a cesarean delivery, so there's no tumas yoledes and there's no mila. It's a sofik if the mila is bismano. Okay. So what if the conception was not in a normal fashion? The conception was artificially inseminated. That's what he says. A woman was artificially inseminated. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's not the natural way. Maybe today it is natural, but he's not willing to say that. He says it's still not the natural way. So he says, according to Rabbeinu Chanan, let's say a woman is artificially inseminated from her own husband's semen. I'm not talking shaylus anochria. The woman and the husband are married, and they can't, she can't conceive like this. So they have to have the assistance of the doctor to artificially inseminate the woman. So she didn't conceive in a natural way. So he says, Rabbeinu Chanan learns that this is the Gemara Sufik, whether the woman is tamei or leida. And according to that of Ben Hananel, it's a suffix in the Gemara, so the Mila would not be Deicha Shabbos, and there wouldn't be a Pidyon HaBen. Because that it's a suffix in Ben Hananel, it's a suffix in the Gemara, whether that's called a Yotzei Deifen. Yotzei Deifen not only applies when the Leida was in an unnatural form, but the conception was unnatural. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in one of his Sforim that we should be ma'ur of this to many women, because many women are artificially inseminated, or other forms of conception, other than a natural form. The Kohen Tabernachanan, the Mila should not be Deicha Shabbos, and there shouldn't be opinion. Okay.